Morning, guys. My name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here at Veritas. Before we get into our verse for today that we'll be teaching through, I feel like I need to give you guys an update. Most of you guys remember last time I was up here teaching, I told you the story about how my three-year-old daughter told me that my belly was getting bigger and that I had a baby in there just like Mama did. Well, now my one-year-old son has turned on me as well. We're playing catch in the living room, and Titus, one-year-old, very serious about football, and he drops the football, and with a real serious look in his face, walks up to me, points to my belly, and says, "BB." And I said, no, Titus, just Mom. Just Mom has a baby. And he says, "No," he's very insistent, baby. So, like I said, even my little son turned on me. But here's what we'll do. If we have a gender reveal party for this one, you guys are all invited, okay? That's what we'll do. No, we're going to get back to 1 Peter this morning. So if you have a Bible, take your Bible out. If you don't have one with you, I would encourage you to just download the Veritas Church app. If you type in Veritas Church Iowa City to the App Store, you can get a free one that way. And there's lots of other goodies on that app for you as well. But as you're turning to 1 Peter, a little context would help set the tone for this morning. This section of 1 Peter that we've been studying for the last several weeks, and through the verse that we're going to look at today, it's actually specific applications of a command that was given in chapter 2. And if you look at chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, this is where we'll start. Peter says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that they speak against you as evildoers. When they speak evil against you, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So Peter's saying, listen, there are some people that are being persecuted here, kind of your everyday stuff, insults, intimidations from friends, coworkers. And he's saying, here's how you need to respond to that. You need to live radically different lives than these unbelievers around you. And here's what that's going to do. That's going to draw attention to God. Right? That's going to draw attention to God. And this morning, we're going to look at a specific way that God wants us to live differently than the rest of the world around us. And everybody's involved this morning, but primarily this verse speaks to husbands. But I would encourage everybody to take an interest in this, because if you're interested in being a husband someday, it certainly applies to you. If you're a wife, it certainly applies to you. If you're interested in being a wife someday, it certainly applies to you. It's just one verse. So if you just go down to chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 7 here. We addressed wives last week, and this week Peter addresses husbands. And this is what he says. He says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So he starts with that word "likewise." We need to know what he's referring to, right? Some of your translations may say "in the same way." And that word "likewise," it actually points back to that command in verse 12 of chapter 2. He's calling husbands to live in an honorable way in the context of marriage. Remember how Peter addresses his audience in verse 11 as sojourners and exiles, right? So if you're a stranger in a land, you're probably going to act differently than the people around you, right? And so here Peter is addressing the husbands in the same way. And here's what God is saying through Peter, men. I've got some different rules for marriage in my kingdom than the rest of the world. So it would be really wise if you paid attention to this. Put on my coaching hat a little bit this morning, right? But that's what God is saying through Peter to husbands, right? He's saying the proper use of authority in marriage is going to point people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking at this morning. How do we use our authority, husbands, in a God-honoring way, in a wife-honoring way in marriage, right? Well, to answer that question, I want to start with Peter's primary command in this verse, and that's for husbands to show honor to their wives. He's sort of, in a way, repeating the same command he gave in verse 12, live in an honorable way among the Gentiles. And the same commands he gives again in verse 17. He says, show honor to everyone. And you can see it there in verse 7. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman. What does it mean to show honor? Well, it means to praise, to exalt, right? To attribute great worth and great value to our wives. Now, how we're specifically called to do that, we'll get into it in a little bit. But man, I want you to understand this up front. Our authority does not give us a right to demean or belittle our wives in any way or act in any condescending way toward them, right? Peter's ruling that out right away, saying, listen, you got to act differently than the rest of the world, right? I mean, look at the state of our culture today. From the left to the right, you've got Harvey Weinstein, you've got Bill O'Reilly. This disgusting, pervasive use of authority to abuse women, right? And Peter's saying, there's a different way if you're part of God's kingdom. So just so we're clear, it's not just enough to not abuse your wife, right? That's not the call, obviously, in 1 Peter. It's to hold our women high and with great respect and cherish them for the beautiful creations that they are. Maybe the most impactful thing you guys will hear this morning is going to come from a single guy. I was talking to Dale Mulliken, one of our elders, last week, and he told me a story about something that happened in Connection Group. Some of you know Mitchell Volk. We hired him on Veritas staff. He does graphic design for us, and they were in Connection Group last week with the Mullikins and talking about last week's passage on wives. And Mitchell, being a single guy, didn't have a whole lot to say. So toward the end of group, Dale said, hey, Mitch, what do you think of this passage, right? Single guy, and this is what Mitch says, referring to last week's passage. This is not a call for women to step down. It's a call for men to step up. And then he dropped the mic and he left Connection Group, right? Enough said, right? Let's pray. What a beautiful statement. That's the compass for where we're going this morning, right? It's all about putting on display the worth of our wives in the context of marriage, and really in all of lives. So let's look at specifically how we're to show honor to our wives. Peter says, live with your wives in an understanding way, right? Live with your wives in an understanding way. The literal translation here is according to knowledge. He's saying, husbands, you're going to need some knowledge. You're going to need some information in order to honor your wife, right? So what do we need knowledge of? Well, I think Peter would say two things. One, you need knowledge of God. We'll look at one specific aspect of that. And then he says, of course, you're going to need knowledge of your wife. And I think he would say, you need to know your wife particularly. You need to know your wife as a weaker vessel. And you need to know your wife as a co-heir. And we'll look at those three in detail. But first, know God in order to honor your wife. Know God in order to honor your wife. And I thought, especially considering the context of this passage, we really need to look at how God uses his authority, right? How does he use his authority over us? This has to inform husbands how we use our authority in marriage, right? Now, we could look at a ton of examples here, obviously, but here's what I did. Kept it really simple. I turned to the back of my Bible, I looked at the concordance, and I looked up the word authority. And I said, okay, where is authority associated with Jesus in the New Testament? Okay, that's all I did. Here's what we came up with. Mark 10, 42 to 45, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, you know what, guys? Some people in this world, they're going to use their authority in sort of a domineering way over people. They're going to use it to make other people serve them. He says, that's not the way it's done in my kingdom. We use authority to serve other people. In fact, that's why I came. I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So husbands, serve your wives, right? How about Matthew 9? Jesus heals the paralytic, and he says, here's why I've done it. I healed this man so that you would know that I have authority to forgive sins. Right? He uses his authority to forgive and to extend grace. Husbands, we need to use our authority to forgive our wives and extend grace to them. And we'll look at how later on. Last one, Matthew 28, Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples. Jesus uses his authority to empower us. Husbands, we need to use our authority to empower our wives. Now, newsflash, guys, we're not Jesus, right? But this can speak volumes into the way that we deal with our wives in marriage. Let's take a look at that last one briefly, right? Jesus uses his authority to empower us. In preparation for the sermon, I asked a lot of women what fears they had or what they were tempted to fear entering into a submissive relationship such as marriage. And one of the fears that came up the most often was, I'm afraid that my gifts will be wasted. My gifts won't be used, right? Now, husbands, we need to know our wives' gifts. We need to study our wives carefully so that we know what makes them unique, right? How are we to esteem our wives, to honor them, if we don't know what specifically in them we're supposed to esteem, right? My wife has this incredible gift of teaching, guys. She used to be a teacher before she got into ministry. And when it comes to teaching our kids, eliciting a response out of them, whether it's in discipline or it's just teaching them a life lesson, man, the words she uses and the tone of voice and the posture of her body and the methods that she uses, where I fail, she excels, right? And I don't say, no, you know what, Carrie? I've got the authority. You need to step aside here while I try to teach my children, right? I sit back and I take notes. Literally, I've taken notes, right? Step aside and allow your wife's gifts to be on display, men. Because husbands, and a word to wives as well, marriage is not a place to silence your gifts, okay? It's a place to magnify them, okay? Husbands, we need to know what our wives' gifts are, study them, and put them in positions to use them. One other aspect of God's authority I want to look at, how does God treat us according to knowledge? How does he deal with us in an understanding way, right? Because that's Peter's call for husbands, right? Live with your wives in an understanding way. Well, I think we can most clearly see this if we just think about the process of sanctification, right? Sort of that day-to-day God making you more like Jesus, right? Convicting you to obey him, maybe to change your life in a certain way, to sort of get an idol out of your life. When God convicts you of maybe a change to make in your life, a step of obedience to take, he challenges you spiritually in some way, and you don't immediately obey, what does he do? Does he just sort of flick you off the face of the earth? No. He always exercises patience. He always extends grace to us, right? Now, husbands, when you make a decision that challenges your wife spiritually and she doesn't immediately buy into it, do you afford her the same patience and the same grace that God extends to you? We need to give our wives time to process. God always gives us time to process his use of authority in our lives. We need to do the same thing with our wives. Husbands, I can remember the first Grow campaign. I think if my count is right, we're on number 3 now. But in the first one, I know I'm losing track, right? We've had so many, right? The building is being built, all right? That's the good news. But I can remember the first Grow campaign, and boy, was I going to make a super holy and spiritual and bold decision for our family, right? To give this huge chunk of money. Husbands, we're like that, right? We want to make these super bold decisions, clouded by a lot of pride, right? I'm going to be better than that guy, and better than that guy, and better than that guy. And when my wife wasn't immediately on board with that decision, to my surprise, right, I was like, what's her problem, right? Like, what's wrong with her? This is obviously the faith-filled, godly decision to make. Like, why can't she get on board with this, right? And the problem wasn't that Carrie is not kingdom-minded when it comes to money, because she's very kingdom-minded when it comes to money. But the problem was I showed no patience and grace with my response. Because here's what was going on in Carrie's heart. A really good motherly instinct. Let's hit the brakes for a second, right? Let's push pause. And let's think about what this decision is going to mean for the security and the well-being of our family. That good motherly instinct, right? She just needed some time to process this decision in light of how it was going to affect our family. And then she was on board with it. Now, understand, husbands, this works two ways. And why don't you guys put that slider up there? Here's how God works, right? He initiates spiritual growth. He always follows it with grace. Okay? Now, as this illustration just showed, sometimes husbands, we initiate spiritual grace, initiate spiritual growth, and we don't follow it with grace. Okay? That's a wrong use of authority. But it happens the other way around as well. Sometimes, husbands, we make no use of our authority, and it's all grace, right? We never initiate the spiritual growth, and it's all grace with our wives. Oh, you make the decision. Do whatever you want, right? That's not a right use of authority either. We need both in order to use our authority in a God-honoring way. Now, not only do we need to know God in order to know our honor our wives, but, of course, we need to know our wives. So, know your wife in order to honor her, right? Know your wife in order to honor her. And I think the first thing Peter would say is know her particularly. Know your wife particularly. Be a student of her, men. Study them. What are her hopes, her fears, her strengths and weaknesses, physically, emotionally, spiritually? What are her frustrations? What are her deepest needs, physically, emotionally, spiritually? We need to know those things if we're going to deal with them in an understanding way. And husbands, I want to be clear, the best way to develop trust between you and your wife, it's not to make good decisions. It's through understanding her uniquely. Because here's the fear that she's going to carry into marriage. We're going to dig into this a little bit more as we go throughout this talk today. He's going to use his authority to make decisions that are not in my best interest. I'm not saying every wife believes that, but that's what she is tempted to fear. He is going to use his authority to make decisions that are not in my best interest. Now, how do you squash that fear? You understand what her hopes and fears are. And when she knows that your decision involves a genuine consideration of her deepest feelings, the fear is removed. Conflict is typically avoided, and trust just grows in your relationship. You know, most of you guys know that my wife is pregnant with our third child, and when she first found out that she was pregnant, almost her immediate decision was, we're done having biological kids, right? Like, Ryan, you need to do something to make sure that this doesn't happen again, right? And you know, our plan for so long had been three biological kids, and then we'll start adopting, right? But when she said that to me, my heart just fell on the floor. And I felt like it was in 100 pieces. And I was like, man, that's such a final decision. Like, I don't want to close that door yet, you know? And, man, I had some really condemning thoughts in my heart. Like, Carrie, she's just going to have to suck it up. This is too... I know, right? Not living with her in a considerate way. I get it. That's why we're telling this illustration, okay? That's the coach coming out, right? Suck it up. But, I mean, seriously, I thought, like, this is too big of a decision. We're talking about bringing another human being into this world, right? We can't close the door on that yet. I get it's uncomfortable, but you're just going to have to, again, suck it up, right? Like... So anyway, God convicted me after that. Right? Surprise, surprise. And I think God kind of had a little conversation with me. Went something like this. Brian, you don't get your precious 9 hours of sleep for one night, and you are grumpy the whole next day. Right? Carrie has not had a good night's sleep for the better part of 3+ years. Right? You get a little tummy ache for one day, and you're miserable to be around. And my wife has morning sickness, afternoon sickness, and night sickness. And it's not just first trimester, it's second and third too, for the better part of 3 years, right? You need to consider that, Brian. And so I came back to my wife, and I just told her that. I said, Kara, I'm sorry. That was a total lack of consideration on my part. I did not stop to think what you've been through the last 3 years, right? And it developed trust in our relationship, and an eliminated outward conflict, right? Now, we haven't come to a final decision yet. Maybe my wife thinks we have. I'm leaning toward her, though. We're going to start adopting after this, right? Husbands, we need to consider the positions, the feelings, the experiences our wives go through, right? Usually, the consideration that Carrie needs is just a sincere acknowledgement that I understand and care about her feelings and her perspective on a given subject. And husbands, here's the thing. I think we often think as husbands that consideration is the equivalent of extra credit in school, right? Like, it's not necessary, but it's a nice bonus if you have it. Wives, is it necessary? Yes, it is, okay? Peter would say so, God would say so, every wife would say so. It's not extra credit. We need to live in our wives, with our wives in a considerate way. And, you know, husbands, your wife, she doesn't just want you to be interested in her as a function of her roles, right? Like, don't just be interested in her as a wife or as a mother, but be interested in her uniquely for who she is as a person. She's not just a bunch of different hats that she puts on. She's a person created in God's image. So let's talk about a little application here. When it comes to your conflict, here's the question for you, husbands. Do you immediately defend yourself, or do you stop and listen to your wife and ask good questions? Okay? Do you immediately defend yourself, or do you stop and listen and ask good questions? When it comes to her problems, do you offer a solution, or do you seek to understand her feelings, right? This is one of the worst things, husbands, you can say to your wives. Wives, give me an amen if you agree with this. Here's what you should do, right? I've got the solution. Here's what you should do. Most often, that's not what wives want. They want you to listen. They want you to take a genuine vested interest in what they're feeling. When it comes to her sanctification, husbands, do you know what your wife is struggling with right now? And I'm not just talking about sin struggles. Is there a fear that she's trying to work through right now? Right? Is there a pain in her heart from something in her past or something she's going through in her life right now? You need to know what your wife is struggling with right now, because here's the call for husbands in Ephesians 5. You need to be a vessel by which God sanctifies your wife. How can he use you to sanctify her if you don't know what she's struggling with? Right? Know our wives, right? We need to know them particularly. And wives, just a brief word for you guys. Wives, you guys are beautiful, but sometimes you're really, really hard to figure out, right? So please help us understand you, right? Bear with us. Give us some grace and patience as well. Help us understand you as we seek to understand you. Now, we also need to know our wives as the weaker vessel, right? Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, Peter's not suggesting women are morally, spiritually, intellectually inferior to men, right? But rather that they are, in general, physically weaker than men. You get this from the context. That word vessel, most often when it's used in the New Testament, it refers to the physical body, right? And look at the time of this writing. It's a pre-mechanized, pre-industrial, agrarian society. If you wanted to make a living, you needed the physical strength and labor of your body to do it, right? But in this, Peter is certainly ruling out any type of abuse. Physical, verbal, emotional. Husbands need to treat their wives with gentleness in every way, he's saying. I hope that we've been very clear about that last week when Mark preached, and this week. Abuse has no place in any marriage. But Peter's also referring to something else when he says weaker vessel. He's saying women inherently, they take on a weaker position in marriage. Okay? Remember, this is a paternal society that Peter's writing to. And a position of submission in any context, it didn't matter if it was wife to husband or employee to employer, it was seen as lacking power, lacking prominence, deserving less dignity, and therefore weaker. And what Peter's saying right now is, I want to totally debunk that idea, okay? totally debunk that idea. Here's what he's saying to us husbands. Your wife has placed herself in a more vulnerable position in marriage than you have. She's made commitments coming into the marriage that you have not made. Okay? Look at single man and single woman. The man makes his decisions. The woman makes her decisions. To an extent, they have authority over themselves, right? We enter marriage. The man, in large part, makes the decisions. The woman submits to them. Peter is saying, you need to acknowledge this vulnerable position that your wives have put themselves in and treat them accordingly. You know, earlier I told you that I talked to several women, and it was married and single, in preparation for the sermon. And I asked them some of the fears that they had entering into submissive relationship like marriage. We talked about the gifts one, right? They were afraid that their gifts would be wasted. But here's some of the other things that women had to say. I'm afraid that I will be walked all over. I'm afraid that I'll lose my purpose, my identity, my value. I'm afraid my best interests will not be cared for. I'm afraid I'll lose my voice and not be acknowledged. And I'm afraid that my role as a helper will be seen as non-essential. So practically, husbands, in light of that, how are we supposed to acknowledge this vulnerable position that our wives are in and treat them accordingly? Well, let's talk about three things here. Never use your authority to pressure your wife to do something that is contrary to her convictions. Okay? Husbands, never use your authority to pressure your wife to do something that's contrary to her convictions. This rules out intimidation and humiliation as tactics to get her to buy in to your decisions. Two, bring her into every major decision in your lives together and genuinely seek her input in those decisions. Okay, bring her into every major decision and show a genuine interest in what she thinks about it, how it's going to affect your lives, how it's going to affect her uniquely. Never get defensive when conflict arises. Talked about this one earlier, repeated it for a reason. We need to dig into this one a little bit because I think this is probably the most frequent cause of conflicts in marriages. Okay, and here's how it works. Husbands, you make a decision without considering your wife. Okay, for me it was, let's say, the Grow campaign. We're gonna give this amount. I don't care what you think, this is what we're doing. How does the wife respond? She doesn't buy in because you haven't considered her, okay? How do you respond to that? You get defensive. No, this is the right decision. This is the holy decision. This is the faith-filled decision. And then how does she respond? Fear. He's not using his authority for my best interest, okay? Let's go through that again, guys, because husbands, if we're honest about it, this is how we cause conflict a lot in our marriages. You make a decision that does not consider your wife. Your husband doesn't buy into that decision because you have not considered her. You get defensive because she hasn't bought into it. She gets fearful because it looks like you're not going to use your authority to honor her. Never get defensive when conflict arises. And if conflict does arise, husbands, ask this question. What did I say to make her think that I am not for her? Because to esteem your wife, right, we talked about it earlier, it means to exalt her. You are her biggest fan. You praise her. You respect her. You put her dignity and her worth on display for the world to see. What did I say to make her think that I'm not for her? One more way that Peter wants us to know our wives. Know your wife as a co-heir. Know your wife as a co-heir. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Women are fellow heirs with us men of everything in the universe. Not just heaven, right? The Bible says that we're co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, he owns everything. So women, you guys are fellow heirs of everything in the universe. And husbands, did you know that your wife was a daughter of the King of the universe long before she was your wife? Your wife was a daughter of the King of the universe ages before she was your wife. She's going to be a queen of the universe one day. Guys, we should be amazed that we get to live with our wives, right? We're living with future queens of the universe. I mean, shame on us if we ever do anything to take away the value of our wives, to disparage them in any way. We need to treat them as fellow children of God. They may be different in role, but Peter says, man, they're equal in dignity and worth. Should cause us to admire and esteem them. So final questions today for husbands. Are you in awe of your wife? Are you just in awe of your wife? Do you just walk up to her and gently caress her cheek for no reason? Do you still open doors for her when you guys go on dates? Have you figured out 10,000 different ways to tell her she's beautiful? Guys, we should be in awe of our wives. Not in some idolatrous way, but because they are the daughter of the King of the universe and a future queen of the universe. I mean, think about it. Where else do you get the King of the universe saying, here's my daughter. Here's my precious daughter. I'm going to entrust you to protect her, to cherish her, to nourish her. Relish that role, men. Relish that role. There are fewer greater privileges in this world than that. We need to relish that role, men. And this is how seriously God takes this call for us. He says, I'm going to interrupt my relationship with you if you don't live out these words. You see that at the end of this verse? Live with your wives in an understanding way. Show honor to them. Treat them as co-heirs with you so that your prayers may not be hindered. Man, God is willing to interrupt our relationship with him when we fail to live out these words. That's serious. Sin obstructs our relationship with God, and it's no different, husbands, in marriage, right? Now, that's just God's fatherly discipline, right? For a period of time. But that is serious business if God is going to do that. And understand, husbands, we get to image Christ in this role that Peter is calling us to live out. Just as Jesus called us to live in an understanding way with our wives, he has gone to great lengths to understand us. Look at these words from Hebrews 4. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus has entered into humanity on our behalf, husbands and wives and everybody. He's able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He understands us. So men, when we fall short of this call for 1 Peter, and we have, if we're honest, and we will, we can go with confidence to God to receive the grace and mercy that we need to live with our wives in a God-honoring way and a wife-honoring way. And there is a ton of comfort and hope in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for these words. I just confess not honoring you and not honoring your daughter that you've given me at times, God. And we thank you that there is grace and mercy to fill in for our sin and our weakness and our fault and our lack of understanding and our lack of showing honor. And I pray, God, for the husbands in this room that they would just heed these words very seriously, God, that they would seek to show the value of their wife to the whole world around them, to treat them with great dignity and respect, to be students of their wives day in and day out, to study what makes them unique. And when they find out what makes their wife so unique, just to consider all of that and all of the decisions they make and all of the interactions with their wives and how they deal with them physically, in the words that they speak to them. Help us honor our wives, God. Help us honor all of our women, God, to praise and esteem them, God, to show their value and their worth, God. And when we do fail, God, give us repentant hearts and come with confidence to your throne of grace to receive that mercy and that grace to help us live out these words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.